Thanks for joining us for the podcast of the Campbelltown Anglican Churches.
I'm Sarah, and I'll be reading our second Bible reading, which is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. And this one's also in your outline if you'd like to read it there, also on the screen. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Thank you, well read. Well, good evening. If we haven't met... Good evening. Well, if we have met yet, my name is Michael and I'm the student minister here at St. Peter's. I want to extend my welcome to those who are new or visiting us today. And I think a special shout out to dear friends of mine. Jono and Corinne have joined us here at Campbelltown and joining us as members at 6 p.m. so you can have a chat with them after the service. But whether you're a member with us or you're new or you're visiting, I hope today the Christmas story is new and fresh for you today. Mick's already helped us by asking for God's help to pray, so let's jump in. Well, one of the phrases we hear a lot at Christmas time is peace on earth and goodwill to all people. It's the great promise of Christmas, peace on earth. And that's the picture that we have in our minds of the perfect Christmas. The peace and quiet of holidays away from work, away from uni, away from school. Peace around the dinner table between the fighting kids, peaceful shopping trips and nice drives down the street. Peace on earth seems to be the great promise of the perfect Christmas. But is this ever your experience at Christmas time? In fact, Christmas seems to be the very opposite of peace on earth. Instead of peace and joy, we're left feeling anxious and afraid. Shopping centres are absolutely packed. There doesn't seem to be a parking space on the face of the earth. That perfect gift is completely out of stock and you've left present buying far too late. Then there's the anxiety of organising family for Christmas, booking flights and accommodation, cooking a coma-inducing amount of food for Christmas lunch, or dealing with the same family drama and the same family fights every year. Or perhaps dealing with the grief of not having a loved one around the table with you. And then on top of all that, there's a war going on, so fuel prices are through the roof. There's been floods, so the grocery bills are through the roof. Christmas time seems to be full of chaos, fear, and anxiety. It seems that this Christmas is upside down. Instead of peace on earth, we're left feeling anxious and afraid. So have we missed what Christmas is really all about? Can we really find peace and joy this Christmas? Or have we been looking in the wrong places? Lord, help us find our answers to the questions we've got. We're going to be looking at the very first Christmas. It also was an upside-down Christmas. A great king is born in a feeding trough. A royal birth announcement's given to lowly shepherds. It's this upside-down Christmas story that will surprise you, because it gives us good news for you and me. So let's have a look together at this upside-down Christmas story. The outline's going to be very helpful for you today, so it'd be great if you've got a copy there. And on the left-hand side, you'll see the Bible reading we'll be looking at, particularly today in Luke chapter 2. We're up to point one, the king is born. Now, unlike the picture we have in our head of that first Christmas, it'd be like the song we just sang, Silent Night, you know, of this wonderful silent night, the baby all clean and calm, Mary looking peaceful and serene. Well, that first Christmas was actually a scary and anxious time for Mary and Joseph. As we've heard over the last 2 weeks, Mary had that frightening experience of having an angel appearing before her. And more than that, telling her that she would have a baby conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph had this anxious time of working out what to do with his fiancée, who's just found out he's pregnant. And if finding out that having a baby isn't scary enough, now a decree has gone out from the Roman emperor decreeing that the entire Roman world would be counted in a census. Now, this census wasn't like the one we had just last year, where you could just fill it out online or you could have people come to your door and help you fill it out from the comfort of your own home. No, this census meant you had to go and travel to your ancestral home. Now, for Joseph and Mary, this meant traveling all the way to Bethlehem, 140 kilometres away. It'd be like traveling from here to Goulburn, on foot, without Google Maps. So can you imagine how scary and frightening it would be for Joseph and Mary to travel all that way, all while Mary was very pregnant, expecting a baby at any moment? But even as this story is unfolding, we get a hint about this baby, that this baby will be someone special. We see that in verse 4, that Joseph, he had to travel from his home in Nazareth in Galilee all the way to the town of Bethlehem, the town of David, because Joseph belonged to the royal line of King David. Now, if I told you that someone was coming from Buckingham Palace or perhaps from the White House, you would know that they were someone special, someone important. Well, we know this baby is special because of the promise God gave hundreds of years ago, like in the passage we read from 2 Samuel 7, that from the house and line of King David, God would raise up a king who would have an everlasting kingdom, a special king who would save and deliver his people, a king that will be born in Bethlehem, the town of David. So already we're seeing from some hints in the passage, this baby is going to be special. This baby will be the promised king, the promised saving king. But the story continues in verse 6. I wonder if you can read that with me. Verse 6 and 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her son, a firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room available for them. Can you imagine the fear of Mary and Joseph when they realise the baby is coming? Now, I'm sure the parents or grandparents in the room will know the feeling, the panic of when the baby is coming. Quick, get to the hospital. Have we packed everything? Are they ready for us? Can we make it in time? But for Mary and Joseph, there's no hospital to go to. There are no midwives or doctors to help. They're in a strange town, miles and miles from home. And there isn't even a single guest room for them to stay in. It'd be like travelling to the CBD in 2 weeks' time on New Year's Eve. There'd be absolutely no room in any hotel in the whole city. No privacy to have a baby. And so you have to give birth perhaps in the hotel lobby or lay him down on a park bench. How terrifying, how horrifying would that be? Mary and Joseph would have been completely terrified from this experience. Yet, when they look down at this baby, their fear is turned into joy. As a parent looks upon the face of a newborn for the first time, they experience this great joy. Well, with no bassinet or cradle to put the baby down in, baby Jesus laid down in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. It's all upside down. This kid, this child who's meant to be special, he's the promise-saving king, yet he's born not in a palace, but he's laid down with the smelly, dirty animals eat. I wonder if there's probably a picture coming up. Dirty, smelly animals eating from this trough, and that's where the saving king is born. It's the first upside-down Christmas. The king is born in a feeding trough. Yet on that first upside-down Christmas, Mary's fear and Mary and Joseph's fear was turned into joy. But as we read on, this joy is not just for them. This child will bring joy to all people. We're up to our second point in the outline, the royal announcement. It's in verse 8 that the story moves to a new location, and here we see a royal announcement. Now, after the birth of a baby, you want to go and tell everyone about this wonderful joy. You want to share in the joy with all these people about this baby that's been born. Now, normally you go and start by telling friends and close family. You send a cute picture of the baby all wrapped up, cute and snug. You can see maybe a picture of the birth announcement of my two kids, so Hannah and Daniel, looking all cute and wrapped up. You send that off to your friends. You give some fun facts like weight and height and all these kind of fun numbers. And then you put an announcement in the newspaper or maybe these days up on Facebook. But when a king is born, well, the birth announcement's even more important because it tells the whole world about the arrival of this future king. So when a royal baby's born in England, well, special announcements put out in the front of Buckingham Palace. Or when the Lion King is born, he's shown off to the pride of other lions. But on this first upside-down Christmas, the royal birth announcement for Jesus was not made to all the important people, but to lowly shepherds. Can you read me verse 8? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. These shepherds are outside. It's nighttime, it's dark, it's quiet. And then bam, an angel appears and a great light shines all around them. And these shepherds, they were terrified out of their minds. I imagine I would be pretty terrified of that experience. But what's so unusual about this is not so much that an angel has appeared, but that an angel would appear to these dirty, smelly shepherds, the lowliest people in the community. And what does the angel say? Verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." Good news for all people. Not just the important people, but even good news to lowly shepherds. Good news for you and me. And what is this good news? Well, the angel says in verse 11, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The good news is that God's promised King has been born, the promised King who will save his people. The promised king that's been born to you, born to save you and me. See, the shepherds, they were absolutely terrified out of their minds on that first upside-down Christmas. Yet their fear was turned into joy when they heard this good news. And this good news is also good news for you and me. We're up to our third point. Our saving king has come. Now, the question you might have is this really good news? Is this really good news for me? It's at Christmas time that we're reminded that things are a bit upside down. Instead of peace and joy, we're filled with fear and anxiety. It's also at Christmas time that it doesn't take long for the joy of receiving gifts to turn into fighting with siblings over the toys. At Christmas, we're reminded of the grief and pain of broken relationships and the absence of loved ones around the dinner table. We long for joy and peace at Christmas, but where can we find it? Well, we see the answer in the praises of the angels in verse 14. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." You see, God is the one who brings peace on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests. Now, none of us on our own deserve God's love. We don't deserve God's free gifts. We cannot please God on our own. Because like we see at Christmas time, while we show moments of kindness, while we show moments of love and care, we also at times hurt others. We fail to love those around us. We fail to love God. We fail to live the way that God intended. And so we don't have peace with God. But that's where this upside-down Christmas gives us such good news. Because Jesus brings peace. This baby born in a feeding trough, well, he grew up. This promised king lived the perfect life that we could never live. He showed us the way to live, the best way to live. And he's the king who laid down his life to save his people. He died the death that we deserved so that we could have true, lasting peace. Peace with God, peace with one another, true, lasting peace and joy. Jesus has dealt with the hostility that we have between us and God. And so we can now have peace with God. We just need to accept this free gift that he offers in Jesus. It's on that very first upside down Christmas that God gave news that turned their fear into joy, that turned their anxiety into peace. And on this upside down Christmas this year, you've heard the same great news that the angels declared, the same great news that can turn your Christmas the right way up. So this Christmas, will you be filled with peace and joy or filled with anxiety and fear? Will you accept this free gift from God? Will you trust and follow this promised saving King? Now, if you're someone here who does trust and follow God's saving King, if you do know and have accepted God's free gift, then you'll know the great joy and peace that is yours in Christ Jesus. Perhaps you've been reminded today of the good news of great joy, and with the angel praise God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, for he has given us our peace." But if you're here today and you've yet to put your trust in Jesus as your saving King, this Christmas, today, you can have peace with God. You've heard the same great news the angels declared on that very first Christmas. So will you accept Jesus as the promised saving King? Now in a moment I'm going to lead us in a short prayer. It's going to be asking God to forgive us for the times we failed to love him. It thanks God for sending Jesus, his promised saving King, to save us. And it asks God to help us to live and trust Jesus as our King. But before we do that, I just want to mention again what Mickey mentioned before about the Meet Jesus course. That would be a great way for you to find out more about this promised saving King, to find out more about Jesus and what it means to follow and trust him and to have that true lasting joy. If you'd like to find out more about coming along to the Meet Jesus course over January, please chat to Mick and myself you can scan the QR code on the front of the outline there. We'd love to chat to you about that. Or you can pick up a copy of The Essential Jesus and read for yourself the gospel story about this promised saving King. You can also chat to Mick or I if you would like a copy of The Essential Jesus. But friends, let's finish with a short prayer thanking God for Jesus, the promised saving King. If you'd like to pray this prayer with me, you can pray along in the quietness of your heart and say amen at the end. Let's pray. Dear God, I know that I'm not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of life and peace. I'm guilty of not loving you and living the way you want me to live. I'm sorry and I need your forgiveness. Thank you for sending Jesus, the promised saving King, to die for me so that I may be forgiven. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me so that I may live with Jesus as my King. Amen. Well, friends, if you prayed that prayer for the first time tonight, I'd love to encourage you to chat to a friend or a family member that brought you along, or chat with Mick or myself. We'd love to help you work out how to start this new life of following Jesus as your King and experience the great joy and peace that that brings. Thanks, Mick.
Thanks for joining us for this sermon podcast Check out more of our resources at campbelltownanglican.org or come visit us at church sometime.